Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome, it is Dan Bock with this Tuesday edition, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. We are presented to you by our friends over at FanDuel. Of course, the NBA All-Star break churns on today, but we do have some NHL over there in the lobby on FanDuel that gets rolling here today with the 150K Tuesday Blue Line. Just a little bit, we're going to be having the guys Max and Jay. They're going to go through the NHL content for you here today on this big Tuesday. Also, the Super Monster over on FanDuel, $150,000. So, some big tournaments, some bigger than normal tournaments. And I don't know about you, but I've been so jonesing to get back into daily fantasy that I haven't drafted a team since, I guess, golf on Wednesday night, I think that was. I think that's the last draft that I've done. No, let me take that back. I did a little bit of NASCAR for what was supposed to be, I believe, on Friday. And I don't know. I'm really wanting to draft some DFS teams, and I'm not ready to jump back into NBA yet. So I'm going to be playing some NHL. So listen to those guys here in a little bit. We'll have that for you here on the podcast. In terms of myself, like what am I going to talk about? Not much here. Just a couple of reminders. DraftKings did make a change, and it's very pertinent now based on what happened over the last 48 hours. And basically, players who are traded, as long as both teams are on the slate, they are actually going to have the player now be available to use. Where before, if somebody was on the wrong team via a trade or a signing or whatever, they wouldn't their points would not accrue for fantasy. Now, they always had a pretty solid designation. I think they made the player red or something along those lines. But I think it makes sense that if both games or both teams are playing on the slate, that the points should count. And I think that's been the policy at FanDuel for a while. And DraftKings basically has changed that this go around. And obviously, with the news of Boogie Cousins being traded to New Orleans, it becomes very, very pertinent because that's a situation that's going to be very interesting to play out. And again, we'll talk more about it come Thursday morning's podcast, but it is interesting enough that both teams, Sacramento and New Orleans, are playing that first game back in both in probably the most desirable spots you could ask for. New Orleans up-tempo against Houston, and Sacramento versus probably the worst defensive team in basketball at Denver Nuggets. So there's going to be a lot of plays that are, you know, now important and made available and cheap because of that trade, and certainly because the sites posted their games fairly early. So be on the lookout for Sacramento Kings chalk on Thursday. It's likely what we're going to see. So in terms of like the effect on it, like people have been asking, like, what do I think? Well, first off, it's a great deal for New Orleans. Fabulous deal for New Orleans. It's a shame if you're a Boston fan that they didn't make more of an effort to make that happen, and embarrassing if you're a Kings fan that that deal went through. Because basically from what I heard, and I think that Vlade confirmed as much, was that they actually got a worse deal. Vlade came out and said 2 days prior, I had a better deal than the one I took. And I'm guessing it sounds like he was kind of in a panic mode, and they clearly did not want to keep him. They basically, my feeling was, they were done with DeMarcus Cousins. He wasn't worth paying the amount of money that would be required to that he would come to expect this offseason, and they better get something rather than nothing, which is fine, but it's hard for me to believe that there was not a better deal to be had than what they got. But sucks to be Kings fans. I mean, nothing better than getting a new arena and having it filled with the likes of Darren Collison, Ben McLemore, Buddy Hield, Costa Kufis, and Willie Cauley-Stein. Like, why anybody would really want to go to a Sacramento Kings game right now, I have no idea. But at least they get the Nuggets that first game. Like, that's about as good of a matchup as you can have. So that certainly should be a lot of fun. Just a note, golf as well this week. Definitely check out the premium content we have here on RG, both through our incentives. Also, the Tour Junkies have their package as well in the marketplace. I think it's like $4 or $5, $6 a week. And a pretty good tournament out there. And we also had DraftKings announce their Millionaire Maker for the Masters, which is one of the great tournaments. And I think that DraftKings really undershot it. I think they made it $3.5 million with $1 million up top. Way, you know, too top heavy. And I know that's kind of what we saw during football season. And I didn't love it. And clearly you don't have to play it, but it's still a marquee tournament. I'm probably not going to buy in much to that. I'll probably just go and chase some qualifiers for $1, $5, and see if I can't corral some tickets that way. It's a shame, though, because I think that the Masters is probably the most marquee golf event of the year, and I think they undershot it by $1.5 million. Like, I think that could have been a $5 million tournament this year with $1 million up top, which is a much better payout than $3.5 million with $1 million up top. It's just like, you know, first is $1 million, tenth is like $5K or $10K. Like, it's just way too much for my taste. Now, the buy-in price is a little bit higher at $33. They kind of got off that $20. And the thing about the Masters, which I think you got to remember as well, and I don't know if they're saying this, but I suppose they could look at it and said, hey, you know, this is a smaller field than we have pretty much all year long for any of the majors out there. And, you know, we wanted to, avoid crazy lineup duplication. I don't think that's a reason, because you still have over 100,000 lineups in this tournament. But I just feel like when Masters week comes along, this tournament's going to fill by, like, Tuesday or Wednesday morning. And I just feel like this is the biggest thing out there. And they had a chance to really kind of up the ante here. And that was surprising and disappointing. And believe me, DraftKings has tons of analytics that help them go into sizing their tournaments. But especially with the Masters, with how big it is, that was surprising to me. But it is posted. You can chase some of the qualifiers. I'll certainly be doing that over the coming weeks. And that's what, first weekend of April. So always one of my favorite times of the year. And then we also have Daytona 500 coming up this weekend. Pretty big $500,000 tournament there. So, definitely if you want to have some entertaining NASCAR this weekend, make sure you check out Stevie's package that we have in the expert marketplace. I mean, I think there's a ton of skill to be had in NASCAR. I will say that week one, the restrictor plate races that we have are very different. I mean, that's the one thing about NASCAR compared to the other sports, where like a given day on basketball, playing daily fantasy basketball is the same. Same with baseball, same with football. Like, the game itself doesn't really change too much. Yeah, salary structure matters, but NASCAR, every single track you run at is a different style, and some are way more predictive of fantasy points than others, where you don't really have that week to week in, or day to day in the other sports. Like, yes, you have a difference between sports. I think NBA is a little bit more predictive than Major League Baseball is, but you don't have that difference from a week-to-week situation between the two. In NASCAR, you absolutely do. And, you know, the restrictor plate races, basically the cars are so similar that you can almost, yes, there's certain aspects, there's still, you know, skill that you have to look at in terms of place differential or whatnot. But for me, you know, looking at projected ownership and trying to take advantage of that is a much much better way to succeed on the restrictor plate races. But the total opposite can be said sometimes when you have these quote-unquote dominator races where you've got one guy who's just clearly got the best car and he leads like, you know, 80% of the laps in the tournament. And if you don't have him, you don't win. And you have to know when those situations are going to come about. And that's where Stevie's package is just absolutely incredible. So check that out. He's got specials for the entire year. He's got specials for like the month, by the week. So check that out. Good stuff there. And certainly going to help you be a better Daily Fantasy NASCAR player. So a little promotion here today on the podcast. But let's get to it. We're going to talk some NHL, but I'm going to hand it off to Max and Jay Willie. And they'll talk you through this Tuesday slate. I'll probably be back on Thursday, back with the NBA grind. So enjoy it right here on the Daily Fantasy Fix.
How's everybody doing? I'm Maxie Ernst. Really excited to talk some hockey today. Have an awesome slate. I've got Jay Willie with me. How you doing, Jay?
I'm not doing too bad at all. Just enjoying a nice little holiday Monday, getting ready for Tuesday's big action on big money on big slate.
Yeah, it looks like both sides have some pretty big contests for hockey on this Tuesday, DraftKings being the primary one. I'll just give you guys a little rundown of the contest if you haven't looked at the lobby yet. There's a $150K prize pool, $4 buy-in with $25K to first on DraftKings. The big $360 buy-in Spinorama that pays a huge $50K to first, which is one of the biggest first place prizes we've seen in hockey outside of a live event. And then a $36 medium Spinorama with an $80K prize pool, and then also a $33 qualifier. And then I saw over on FanDuel, they have a $7 buy-in blue line, mega blue line, I think they called it, that also pays $25K to first. So a ton of money to be won on the hockey streets on Tuesday night. I'm really excited. Hopefully I don't go broke. I know you got some tickets to the Spinorama, right, Jay?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that one. That one should be fun.
Yeah. $50K to first is real attractive prize there. Maybe it can get you even for the season, buddy.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see about that.
So what Jay and I are going to do is we're going to run through the nine games tonight, game by game, give you a bit of a breakdown, a pretty quick one, but hopefully with some solid info there for you guys. Just a note before we start, there are basically no goalie confirmations when we're recording this, so we'll give you guys our best guess, but be sure to check on what goalies are confirmed when you're setting your lineups. And without further ado, let's jump right in. The first game I've got is the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Carolina Hurricanes. A game that should feature a ton of goals. I was just looking at the Vegas line, which opened Pittsburgh -130 and a 5.5 over under. I think Pittsburgh will be a slightly bigger favorite, and the over under should rise considerably. Both these teams struggle defensively, particularly given that Pittsburgh is going to be missing two defensemen here still, Justin Schultz and Olli Maatta. And then both teams have some offensive flair. So why don't you give me your insight on this one, Jay?
Yeah, there aren't too many games that creep up to the 6.5 range. But this one, if there ever was one, definitely warrants it. I think this one will get up, bet up to 6 and maybe even 6.5, because I have seen that recently with a lot of Pittsburgh games. And Carolina is a team that plays a wide open style, certainly at home, and their goaltending is terrible. So this game has the makings of a real barn burner. This is a game that everyone should want some action on. Don't let the over unders fool you. This one is the one that is going to have the most goals, most likely.
Yeah, both these teams are in the bottom 10 in the league in expected goals against per 60 minutes at even strength over the last about 2 months. And the more expensive options are on the Pittsburgh side, the big names that a lot of you guys, I'm sure, are aware of: Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Patrick Hornquist, Chris Letang. These guys aren't cheap to roster. But on the Carolina side, you have a ton of value. So I know you're probably interested in both sides here, Jay, but why don't we start with Carolina? Where are you looking for Carolina if you're targeting that side of the game?
Well, Carolina, they shuffled up their lines a bit last game, and they ended up getting spanked by Toronto But all things considered, they didn't play too terribly that game. And one would consider whatever line Jeff Skinner is on is definitely one that you're going to want to target. And if they're kept together, then Staal, Aho, and Lindholm, who have been playing together and have been playing extremely well together, will be a line to target. But they might also be the most highly owned line. The other night, we saw crazy ownership on them when they were hosting Toronto, and Pitt isn't that much better of a defensive team than Toronto. So the Staal line is super interesting. They all play the power play together, and they're all pretty cheap. So that's why I think that their ownership will be pretty high on this slate.
Yeah, the Staal line, I believe they are all priced in the 5,000 range. Sebastian Aho on DraftKings, 5K. Jordan Staal, 5,300. Elias Lindholm, 4,600. And those guys play the power play with Justin Falk, who would be a logical option to stack with them. Very offensively talented defenseman. I agree with you that the ownership will probably creep up there for those guys. The Skinner line, Jeff Skinner in particular, still pretty cheap. A very strong cash game option most nights. Shoots the puck with a ton of frequency. On the other side of the puck, Sidney Crosby plays on a line with a couple of guys that I don't really love to roster, but I'm really intrigued once again with this Evgeny Malkin-Patrick Hornquist combination. They have Carl Hagelund back in the lineup joining them on that second line, and he's rosterable for only 3,800 tonight. So are you looking at that second line for Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah, that's always the line. Like whenever I write about slates that Pittsburgh's on, I always say you want between the Malkin and Crosby debate, you want the one that Patrick Hornquist is playing with, and if that's Geno Malkin, then all the better. Beyond that, like I would say also that line is going to see higher ownership than the Crosby line. So yeah, it's kind of a, you know, pick your poison type of thing. Do you want, like, obviously I think that line provides you a bit safer floor, a bit higher upside, but you're going to see higher ownership. Yeah. Beyond that though, I certainly think both lines are viable. And the third line, though, they haven't burned anyone for fading them before. I think Bonino, Kessel still in a game like this is still pretty viable.
Yeah. It's worth noting that the Carolina penalty kill has been great this year. So normally we want to target, you know, where can we get that power play correlation with the even strength correlation in our line. So often Malkin and Hornquist are a logical combination because they play both even strength and power play together. But if you're going to act on the assumption that the Carolina penalty kill is pretty good and most of scoring in this game might come at even strength from the Pittsburgh side, I could see a lot more validity in rostering the Crosby line, where normally you wouldn't get Crosby with his line mates on the power play, but you're going to get them all at even strength here. On the blue line, Chris Letang, I mentioned earlier, still pretty cheap at only 6,700. I think I wrote an article last week that said, as long as Chris Letang is under 7K and in a good matchup, I think he's a pretty automatically in the conversation for cash games and tournaments alike. Would you agree?
Absolutely, 100%.
So I think we don't really need to discuss the goaltenders in this game. It's going to be a bloodbath from both sides, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in either goalie. I mean, they both carry the upside, obviously, because if the shots that the teams produce are what we're thinking and a goalie happens to be on their game, then absolutely. But I don't think this is necessarily somewhere where I'm interested in venturing.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's move on to the next one here. We've got the Montreal Canadiens coming into New York City to face the Rangers. I'll probably be at the game, which means, you know, it usually doesn't bode well for my boys in blue. But I think this is a spot that I would consider potentially fading on this slate, which is interesting at first glance, because normally we look to the Rangers as a side that is going to offer a lot of offense. But I'm just not loving it relative to the rest of the games. That being said, if you're looking to the Rangers, looking to Montreal, why don't you give me your analysis on this game, Jay?
Yeah, no, this is one of the games that you're probably better off fading on the night. Certainly, there are some spots. The Rangers are deep with scoring potential, and they have three lines that could potentially go off. But that said, they're facing a Montreal team with, even though he struggled, still probably the best goalie in the world in Carey Price. And Claude Julien's Montreal's coach now. And Boston's defense was incredible all year this year, right up until Julien got fired. And so I would expect Montreal's defense to improve with Julien behind the bench. And yeah, I can't see this being a game that I'm really looking towards. Like you said, these are two good teams, and they're two good offenses, but the defenses and the goaltending do enough to kind of quell my expectations for this game.
Yeah, I think I agree with your assessment there, and I think that it will get overlooked in general in DFS on this slate, just because it's not one of the games that presents a sort of mismatch from either side or is going to lend itself to a high total. So in that vein, you'll probably get some low ownership on these guys. For me, if I had to pick a Rangers line that I'm going to throw in tournaments, you know, if you want to get some of that low ownership, it's going to be the Kreider, Sabina, Jad, Zuccarello line, which I guess we could call the second line. And then the top line also has a lot of upside in VC, Stepan, and Nash. And then on the Montreal side, really, it only comes down to the one line for me. Radulov, Pacioretty with Philip Deneau between them at this point. But like Jay said, I'm not particularly interested in these guys. I think you should have some exposure if you're doing 150 lineups in one of these big tournaments. But if I'm only doing a 3-max or something like that, these certainly aren't teams that are in the conversation for me.
Yeah, no. And Montreal's second line, Galchenyuk and Gallagher, if they were – like they played the power play together too, so – And I absolutely love them. Like, Galchenyuk's their best center. Brendan Gallagher is such an underrated winger. Tonight's not necessarily the night, in my opinion. But if those two are sticking together, then I'm going to be targeting them a lot going forward.
Yeah, I actually completely forgot that Brendan Gallagher's back in the lineup for Montreal, which is going to be a boon for them going forward. And certainly in a better matchup, he's bound to have a breakout game real soon. Really, really good player. One final note on this game. Jay mentioned Carey Price. Carey Price, I noticed his salary on DraftKings, only $7,200, which is pretty low for him. I don't know if I've ever seen him that low. He is on the road here facing a strong offensive team in the Rangers, but he certainly is a likely candidate to see a ton of shots. So if you really need to go to the bottom of the barrel and you're looking for upside in tournaments, I wouldn't fault you for rostering Carey Price.
Yeah, no, that's I'm in agreement there. I think that would be a fair assessment.
All right, so let's move on to the next one here. We're going to keep trying to get through all nine of these games. We've got the Ottawa Senators going into New Jersey to face the Devils. Craig Anderson is confirmed in net for Ottawa, and you have to assume it's going to be Corey Schneider for the Devils. New Jersey was a team at the beginning of the year that a lot of people picked on, and we're slowly starting to realize that the New Jersey defense has been shoring itself up. They've been a lot better lately. I pulled for the last 2 months, and their expected goals against per 60 minutes is in the top five in the league at even strength. So I'm not looking to the Ottawa side here. I think New Jersey slows the pace, and we see more or less a defensive battle here. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, a couple of things to point out is that Ottawa has like some of their best forwards that – came on the road trip from what I understand, but might not play. Guys like Hoffman and Stone. Stone got rocked by Jacob Trouba in the last game, and he might be out for the game with probably a concussion, because that was a total headshot straight to the head. And Hoffman seemed to pick up a knock there in that last game. So if those two guys are out, then Corey Schneider becomes a bit of a in-play goalie, because the upside isn't there. Like, Ottawa's not going to put up a ton of shots with those two out, but those are their two best offensive players. So if other than Erik Karlsson, so if they're out, then definitely New Jersey's side should be getting bet on a lot.
Yeah, I would agree. Schneider's an attractive option at just $7,400 on DraftKings. He's been great on home ice lately. usually a spot that we tend to fade because the shot on goal totals are not great coming from the New Jersey scorekeeper. But at that price in this matchup, if some of those guys are going to be out of the lineup, I really like Schneider tonight. I'm not sure what this game will open at, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a five total here. Almost definitely.
Well, I'm looking at Bodog right now, and it has opened, and it is a five, naturally. And the money line is actually even somehow. So, like, I would definitely bet the New Jersey side of the money line just because there's so much we don't know about Ottawa's side. If those guys are healthy, then I would say this is a fair money line. But if those guys are hurt, then definitely New Jersey side is the one that you want.
Yeah, I don't think my interest extends beyond Schneider really here. Hall-Palmieri is a combination that I suppose could be in play. I just don't really see the scoring in this game ever getting out of control. These are both teams that like to slow the pace, and I can't see a ton of goals.
Yeah, I agree with you completely there. This should probably be the slowest pace game on tonight's slate.
Yeah, so if you're going there, make sure you check the Ottawa lineup before lock. If some of these guys are out, the lines are sure to go into the blender, and you're going to get some new combinations, which may present some cheap value, but not a spot that we're looking towards. We'll move on to the next one here. We've got the New York Islanders in Detroit facing the Red Wings. Once again, a couple bad defensive teams here. Detroit with the fourth worst expected goals against at even strength over the last 2 months. The Islanders also a bottom 10 team in that category, but neither team a great offensive team either. I think you have to look to the John Tavares line here, even on the road, but I'm not loving this spot either, Jay. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I consider the Islanders to be a good offensive team, and it's mostly like that top line is just phenomenal. This isn't my favorite spot in the world for them, but there's not too many spots where I could say unequivocally, yes, fade this line completely. I think that there is some ownership warranted there just because, like you said, Detroit is a pretty bad defensive team. And considering the Islanders are a pretty bad defensive team, because they're so cheap, I think some of the Detroit line stacks will be pretty good for you. It'll help you fit in some of the more expensive ones. I would look to either one of the top two Detroit lines, say the Zetterberg, Mantha, Tatar, or Nielsen, Vanek, Athanasiu. Either one of them would be a pretty solid cheap option. They can easily get you a goal or two and hit value against, like I said, a pretty weak Islanders defense.
Yeah, Gustav Nyquist, I believe, is still out with a suspension. Is that correct, Jay?
Yes, he's out for six games. I think they've only played like one or two.
Yeah, so I saw Tomas Tatar is up on the top line with Henrik Zetterberg, and he looked great last game. He's only 4,300 on DraftKings. Pretty much everyone on this team is around the 5K mark or cheaper. So a lot of value to be had here. Jay's right. And on the Islanders side, that Tavares line is creeping up in price game by game. There was a point at which Tavares himself was around 7K, and then Lee and Bailey were in that sub-5K range. But Anders Lee up to 5,800, Josh Bailey up to 5,300. Certainly starting to fall into a real expensive category to stack. That being said, they have a lot of upside.
Yeah,
are you
no,
hesitant to pay that price?
No, I'm not hesitant to pay the price, but you are right. They are creeping up there just a few short weeks ago. Anders Lee and Bailey were probably about $2,000 cheaper combined on DK. John Tavares was still around the same price, maybe a bit cheaper, but yeah, those two have gone up quite a bit, and for good reason. Like they have been crushing it. They're getting like, you know, 3-4 shots on goal a game each. Like as a line, they're producing 10 shots a game, and that provides great value. Doug Waite hasn't seemed to change things from what I've seen compared to Capuano. Capuano always had that line out for all the offensive opportunities and that kind of stuff. So I would think that, if there is a good spot, like that, they're always going to be there for it. So they definitely will be a line that I'm going to pay up for in the foreseeable future as well.
Yeah, and I want to note that on the Islanders side, Ryan Strome plays on the second line now, I guess, but he also plays the top power play unit with that Tavares line, and he's only $3,900, which is a real solid price if you need a one-off or even if you wanted to stack him alongside with the Tavares line, especially in those big field tournaments, definitely get you a unique lineup. And he's really cheap, and he's been highly productive. I think he had a three-point game last time out, which just shows some of the upside there.
I used him as a one-off the other night when he did that, and he carried some pretty bad lineups that I had, so I was happy about that.
There you go. Final note on this game, what about the goaltenders, Jay? Any interest in what I assume will be a Greiss against Mrazek battle?
No, there are better spots, I think. You could talk me into Mrazek in a pinch, but even then, I would probably still look elsewhere.
All right, let's move on to the next one. A game that we may have slightly conflicting opinions on here. We've got the Edmonton Oilers going into Tampa Bay to face the Lightning. Edmonton, not a strong defensive team, playing on the road here. Tampa Bay, a pretty good defensive team and a pretty strong offensive team over the last couple months. Looks like the triplets have been reunited in Tampa Bay. That's Andrej Palat, Tyler Johnson, and Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov, of course, quite expensive, but Palat and Johnson both reasonably priced. And then I'm sure if you played DFS this weekend, you noticed Victor Hedman, who's now 6K on DraftKings, had a huge game on, I believe, was it Saturday or was it Friday, Jay?
That was... Must have been Saturday because I like so many people would have gone Tyler Johnson, Nikita Kucherov, and then the Jake is it Doctrine or whatever he of the almost been price tag and power play time and it ended up being Hedman that went off and I was cursing but you know, it was I still felt like it was it wasn't the worst play in the world to make on my end, but Hedman has that capability of just going off.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I totally leveled myself into Dachin as well. I was like, this is great savings. And, you know, if he's going to be playing the power play, it's going to cut into Victor Hedman's value. No, Hedman just crushed it. But he falls into this category kind of right below the elite tier of defensemen in the NHL that can get you those big games every once in a while, almost like a Dustin Byfuglien tier where he's not Brent Burns, he's not Erik Karlsson level, but he's still got a ton of upside. So I like this matchup for Tampa Bay a lot. Though Jay did point out to me before the show, and you can elaborate on it here, that when they're playing on home ice, the Lightning do like to slow things down some.
Their expected goals, expectations for and against drop considerably when they play at home. That said, Vegas always seems to like them when they're at home. I think they're opening as a 5.5 again for this game. Edmonton's not a good defense, and I've been wrong so much on Tampa Bay where I say, oh, like everyone's going to be going there, so I should fade them, and then I do, and then Kucherov goes off for 3 points. This is one of those spots where Tampa Bay is a solid, like I think they're a solid play. I think they're in that next tier below the Pittsburgh, Carolina, Torontos of the world, but they're cheap, and Edmonton's not a good defense, so it's definitely warrantable. I just think that people will assume it's a better spot than I myself think.
Yeah, I think part of the reason I'm so attracted to it, and others will be, is that you can roster Johnson and Palat at under 5K. Which just seems too cheap. You know, if you followed hockey the last couple of years, the year before last, this triplets line was just absolutely dominant. And then Tyler Johnson got hurt in the playoffs. And then after he got hurt in the playoffs, it seemed like the line really hadn't gelled for a while. And so I'm always looking at them thinking they can recreate that magic on any given night.
Yeah, I won so much money because of them a couple of years ago. So I do have a soft spot for them. But like you said, like that they Tyler Johnson got hurt in the playoffs those 2 years ago, and I feel like he hasn't been quite the same player since. And it's a real shame because he's one of my favorite players. But yeah, they're still a good line, and I still think that they present some value.
Yeah, and with how strong Tampa is defensively, are you at all interested in McDavid tonight and his line?
No, I'll just say no, because if he ends up having to deal with, you know, the Hedmans and the Strawmans of the world, then I don't think the upside is quite there. But Connor McDavid might already be the best player in the world, so him and Patty Maroon playing together makes some magic too. So they're GPP low ownership option, but I'll probably be fading them. But that's why they're going to be a low ownership play.
Yeah, with McDavid in a price range around Malkin and Crosby and Matthews and even Tavares, I don't think I will have any, but he will be overlooked. I do like Ben Bishop in this game at just 7,300 on DraftKings. Maybe a slightly risky option, but nevertheless, that price is attractive. Are you on board with that, Jay?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think Edmonton's a pretty good team, but I do agree. I think that's a fine play.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. We've got four more games to discuss here. This is a fun one for you, Jay. The Winnipeg Jets traveling into Toronto to face your Maple Leafs. Luckily for you, no Jacob Trouba for the Jets. You referenced a hit on Mark Stone earlier. Trouba got suspended for two games, I believe. So no Trouba, who's been off awesome on the defensive end for the Jets. Got to like the Toronto side here, though. I think both offenses are in play. Why don't you break it down for me?
Yeah, no, definitely both offenses are in play. The Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, Connor Brown line definitely went off the other night, which was good to see from a Toronto fan standpoint. We're yet to see if Mitch Marner is going to be back for this game. If he is, then he'll probably slot back into his role with Van Riemsdyk and Bozak, and in which case I think they make for a great line stack. Same with obviously the Matthews-Nylander pairing. If they stick together again, then that's one of the top stacks of the night. And Kadri, Nazem Kadri and Josh Levo have been making some beautiful magic as well. Levo's been getting some power play time. He has an NHL-ready shot. He hasn't gotten the opportunity a whole lot. So I think any one of those three lines is viable tonight. And on the other side of the coin, like, Toronto's been brutal, absolutely brutal defensively. So either one of Winnipeg's top two lines, I think, is in play tonight.
Yeah, I think you can really look to, you know, five different lines coming from this game, like you said. On the Toronto side, definitely worth keeping an eye out on Marner. So if Marner comes back, it really changes the construction there, because that second line with JVR and Bozak becomes totally viable. Without Marner on that line, I really don't have much interest. I think he's the driving force and the real creator that makes it churn. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's incredibly underrated, because I don't think people realize just how much he carries those other two.
Yeah, so if Marner's out, my main interest is in that Matthews and Nylander combination. But if Marner's in, especially given that a lot of people may not notice that fact, you might get a little bit lower ownership on that second line, which would be great. Regarding Josh Levo, a couple people were asking me about him on Saturday, and my response was, while he seems talented, he hasn't been getting a ton of minutes and a ton of opportunity. You mentioned he hasn't been getting that power play time. Do you think that with Marner coming back, it's going to cut into his minutes even a little more?
No, because he's played on the line with Kadri now, and that makes a world of difference. Before, he was just, whenever he was playing, he was getting spot duty on the fourth line. Now he gets to play with Kadri and Komarov, and those guys together are doing some work. Now, mind you, now that you mentioned that, like, if Marner is back, then we could see a bunch of shuffling, and he could end up back on the fourth line. If that's the case, then yeah, you probably don't want any piece of him. But he could be a healthy scratch too, because Soshnikov is back, and Soshnikov has slid back into his fourth line role. So yeah, there's a few questions. So you got to pay attention to just how things shake out over the course of the day.
Yeah, and on the Winnipeg side, it looks like what we'll probably see is Matthew Perreault with Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine, and then the Little Wheeler-Ehlers combination. The pricing on Winnipeg has been interesting throughout the year. At some points, the Laine and Shifley early in the year were really expensive. They're kind of settling in the mid 6K range. Perreault presents some great value at just 3,800 playing on that line. And he's played there, I think, the last two games and done well. Normally, I tend to look at the Wheeler line as my preferred option for Winnipeg just because he's so awesome as an individual. But I think the you might get better value here on this Perreault-Shifley line. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, totally. I think that Perreault, although he's not like a he doesn't pop out at you from a fantasy perspective, he's a great he's over the years he's been a great possession driver. So he will help Shifley and Laine along in that regard, and he's an excellent complementary piece for those two.
Yeah, some strong value there for both cash games and tournaments. I think both goalies in this game are probably a bit risky, to say the least, but high upside options. I'm not going to spend much time here on them because we got to get through three more games here, so we'll move right on to the next one. I'm sure what Jay would have said was Freddie Anderson, he likes him. But let's move on to the next one. Well, we got Chicago in Minnesota taking on the Wild. Minnesota, one of the better defensive teams in the league, really suppressed scoring chances at a great rate. And Chicago, one of the stronger offensive teams in the league. So what do you think about this game, Jay? Are we going to see a lot of goals here, or are we going to see a defensive battle?
That's a good question. This is one of those games where it could go either way. If I were a betting man, I would probably say lean towards a defensive battle because both goalies are excellent goalies. Beyond that, I like Minnesota's side tonight. The problem with it is which line for Minnesota. Minnesota has three lines that are capable of scoring. So beyond that, I think that the Koivu line is going to be charged with shutting down the Kane line, in which case it makes it tough because that Kane line is probably the worst defensive line for Chicago, but they're also going to be putting on a lot of offensive pressure. So this is a tough one. Like I said, I like Minnesota's line. Minnesota's side. I just don't know where to go with it.
Yeah, I think it's really hard. You know, we could try to analyze this game to death, but at the end of the day, Minnesota has become one of those teams that has really balanced scoring throughout their top three lines. They're all going to be viable. I do agree that second line is usually the best option, and given that they're going to face a defensively weak Chicago line, the Patrick Kane line, they're probably my preferred option. They're also among the more expensive options, if not the most expensive line for Minnesota. In terms of goaltender, Devan Dubnyk is pretty high on my list for this slate. I know you wrote an article last week kind of breaking this down, Jay, and I'll summarize for everybody that Minnesota on home ice does a great job of suppressing scoring chances against, yet they still give up a solid amount of shots against. So to even simplify it more, they don't allow shots from dangerous areas. They allow shots from the point, from, you know, distance, which is great for your fantasy goalie. So Devan Dubnyk should see a lot of low-quality shots against. And certainly because Chicago likes to throw the puck on net, has some upside. Would you agree?
Well, 100%. I wrote the article. but yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Like I think I mentioned in the article, they're bottom half of the league team in Corsi against per 60 at home. But they are far and away the number one team in scoring chances against. So they're allowing plenty of shots, but they're not from dangerous areas. So Devan Dubnyk's always an option at home because of that.
Yeah, only 7,600 on DraftKings for Dubnyk tonight. Let's move on to the next one. We've got the Calgary Flames in Nashville against the Predators. Much like a couple of the games you discussed earlier, I think this is a prime candidate for a fade. This could be a strong defensive battle between two teams that have locked it up pretty well this season. I mentioned to you before the show, Jay, that Calgary was a team we targeted against endlessly last year, and they've seemed to really sort of under the radar pull it together on the defensive end this year. They're basically around the middle of the league average in most of the advanced metrics. So are you interested in this game at all? Do you think it's a fade spot? Or do you think that Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson are in play? Why don't you give me your thoughts?
Yeah, this is – I feel like I've been fading Nashville's top line more often than usual over the past month or so, and it hasn't really burned me a whole lot. I think I love them as players. It's just the expected goals aren't really there for them as a line. Now, this is one of those nights where it's tricky because Calgary is a pretty solid defensive team. Nashville's not a great offensive team, but Nashville has a spectacular first line. And if they can avoid Calgary's 3M line, which is really the reason why Calgary's improved so much defensively this year, is this discovery of the 3M line, then Nashville's top line has the capability of going off. Is it the best spot? No, but it's certainly a GPP spot for them, I think.
Yeah, you can get Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson each at under 6K on DraftKings, which, given how talented we know they are as individuals, seems quite cheap. Pair them with Roman Josi, who's also probably underpriced at this point in the season, given his talent level, seems like pretty good value. And I agree that being on home ice, they should have a decent chance of getting away from Backlund, Frolik, and Tkachuk. I'm just not sure if there's a ton of upside there. It's certainly a good low ownership play, though. In net, do you have interest in Pekka? Should he go, or UC Saros if he goes?
I have a bit of interest. UC Saros if he goes, then definitely. Pekka I'm still hesitant on him. I know he's had a pretty decent year, but I'm not crazy about him. But I think either one is still a viable play tonight.
Yeah, and also, you know, I don't often roster PK Subban because usually I'm targeting this Johansson-Forsberg line and PK plays the other power play unit, but pretty hard to deny that he's been great lately, shooting the puck ways, scoring some goals. So I wouldn't fault anybody for rostering PK Subban as a one-off. Should get really low ownership on him, I would guess, maybe even 5% or lower.
Yeah, I tend to agree because some of the other defensemen in his price range are in some pretty excellent spots, so I could see that.
Yeah, I don't think we need to discuss the Calgary offense here, to be quite honest. I think Nashville's just way too strong a defensive team. I don't see any upside there. Are you of the same view, Jay, or do you disagree?
No, I think I'm of the same view. Nashville, especially at home, is a pretty shut them down type of defense. So, yeah, there's possible upside with the 3M line, like I said, but I don't really see it tonight.
So let's move on to the final game of the slate, a game that definitely has some DFS relevance. We've got the Los Angeles Kings traveling into Colorado to take on the Avalanche. I presume LA is going to be a large Vegas favorite, probably in that minus 200 range. For this game. We know that Colorado has been awful lately. However, I took a little bit of a dive into the expected goals numbers for Colorado over a few different samples. I usually try to look at about the last 6 weeks to 2 months, and Colorado seems to have been a little better lately, even if they haven't been winning games. I'm sure you have some interest in LA, but how much interest do you have, Jay?
Yeah, like at first blush, I think a lot of people might have LA in that top tier, along with the Pittsburghs and Carolinas of the world. But I think that, like you said, when I delve deeper into it, Colorado's improved the defense slightly over the past while. So this game kind of plays more to a five over under with, like you said, LA. I think LA has opened as a minus 190 favorite, and rightfully so. LA's been playing excellent lately, but yeah, do I like this spot for LA? Yeah, because you know what, both of those top two lines are cheap, so they make for great GPP stacks. This is kind of like a Tampa Bay spot. I think that I like LA, but it might be a bit of an overrated spot in my eyes.
Yeah, you know, I've been rostering the Kopitar to Foley combination with and without Adrian Kempe, who's really cheap prospect on that line, last couple slates, and they've done basically nothing for me, which is disappointing because Toffoli is such a talented player in his own right. We know how good Kopitar is, and they just haven't seemed to show that much chemistry, at least on the score sheet yet. I wonder if other people have done the same and will start to shy away while they've seen the Pearson-Carter combination really producing. So I wonder if you get slightly lower ownership on the Kopitar line tonight. The Carter line is just really expensive, to be honest, and that may temper their ownership as well. I'm not sure. It does appear like an obvious spot, but I wonder how many people will actually go there.
Yeah, and you're right. Like I don't think the Kopitar line will see that much ownership, because I think when people want a cheaper line, they're going to look to the Jordan Staal line cases, or maybe a couple others that that are there, like Tampa Bay's line. So I tend to agree with you. I don't think that we'll see much ownership, a crazy amount of ownership for them. But they do have some upside. I mean, Kopitar seems like he's been hurt all year or something for him to be playing this bad. But he's still got that talent level that you can't ignore, and you don't want to miss out when he does go off. But I can see both sides of the coin here.
Yeah, I think Kopitar is, you know, he's priced around the way he's been producing, you know, around 5,500. And the great spots to target him in are in these spots against bad penalty kills. He's the guy on the half wall distributing the puck on that top power play unit. So I like him a bit tonight. I'm just not sure. I think I agree with you. I don't really like this spot a ton. Peter Budaj in net for the Kings. We have targeted goalies against Colorado a lot. 8,300 for Peter Budaj is not a price I'm going to be paying. The Kings are one of the best shot suppression teams in the league. Even on the road here, I don't think Colorado is going to be able to muster much. And I just don't see the upside for Budaj. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think we've talked about this a fair bit this year. Peter Budaj, yeah, his team is a pretty solid favorite on tonight's slate. And so there is some viability there, but they're just not going to see the shots. And as a result, like it's not a huge upside play to play Budaj. So I'm not incredibly interested in him.
For cash games, I do want to mention that Jake Muzzin continues to be a really strong play on the blue line at a reasonable salary. I think he's still in that mid 4K range, and he has great peripheral stats. I know we didn't spend a lot of time on defensemen today, actually, but Jake Muzzin only 4,700 on DraftKings. Why don't you, if you wouldn't mind, Jay, and if you can do it on the fly, why don't you give me a couple of your top plays on defense tonight?
Ooh, that's a – all right, let's roll through. Let me take a roll call here. Justin Falk for Carolina is a top play. Chris Letang as well. So those two guys in that game for sure. Like you said, Victor Hedman and Jake Dotchin for Tampa Bay. Jake Dotchin, like we've said, is just about a min salary guy that has some great numbers. I think he's playing alongside Hedman too at even strength. So he's been phenomenal. Dustin Byfuglien is also a great play. Beyond that, you know, like you said, the Nashville defenseman maybe. But not spectacular. That's just about it in a nutshell. And you mentioned Jake Muzzin.
Yeah, I think Byfuglien actually is an interesting point, just because we mentioned Trouba's out. So yeah. Byfuglien may see a ton of minutes in this game against Toronto. Also, Josh Morrissey, I think, will start to get some of that Trouba ice time. And he's only 3,300 for Winnipeg. A cheap punt with some offensive upside there. Would you agree with that?
Yep, I agree. I mean, I don't think he has a ton of upside, but I agree.
All righty. Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Huge contest, like we said earlier. Wish you guys the best of luck. Jay and I are both available on Twitter. I'm at Maxi Ernst, and you are?
I am at Jay Willems, J-A-Y Willems.
So signing out, Max and Jay, good luck tonight, guys. Win all the money.
Good luck.